Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Nun Hey. We're Nun Dalam and Beis. We're going to be starting with the words my drasha. It's halfway down on Nun Dalam and Beis. A little bit more than that. First word in the line is Lid Drasha, and here we are, second day of the sixth parak of Yevamos. Sixth parak of Yevamos. So goes through a lot of the very basics regarding the very definition of Bia. I mentioned yesterday, the Gemaras that we're going to be covering over the course of this parak are going to be extraordinarily interesting and extraordinarily delicate. The topics over here are going to be very adult, and this is for a mature audience. As we pointed out already yesterday, as such, the number of the cases that we already discussed yesterday, and we're going to be continuing to discuss, are going to be sounding a little bit theoretical, a little bit, if I may say so, a little bit preposterous. The whole point of the Gemara over here is to make basic definitional points, and so as such, so some of the cases in the Gemara are going to sound a little bit strange. But again, though, the Gemara is just looking to make definition and construction of what exactly are the legal parameters. So the Gemara yesterday discussed graphically in terms of the actual mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is the act of Bia. It's the act of intimacy between the brother and his sister-in-law. So the Mishnah taught us that Kavana is not a prerequisite, although as we explained yesterday, there has to be a Kavana for a Bia. It just does not have to be Kavana with that particular woman. And exactly what that means. So go back to yesterday's daf. We're in the beginning of the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara went over exactly what the scenario is. What exactly is the parameter where he had kavana for a bia, but not for that particular woman? Okay. Nevertheless, the halacha is that absent of the kavana, the mitzvah is still going to be fulfilled. Now, what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is intimacy. But again, yesterday we pointed out the very definition of intimacy is penetration. Full penetration, not necessary. Partial penetration is all you need. What are the definition of partial penetration? So the Gemara today graphically is going to explain what exactly is the definition of partial penetration, and the Gemara is going to bring down a machlokas on that matter. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. Not only is it true regarding the mitzvah that a partial penetration creates a kinyan, as we pointed out yesterday, meaning with the bia, ha'ara is the term they use in the Torah to describe partial penetration. So with this bia, so two things are accomplished. One is that you are acquiring her as your wife. Two is that you're acquiring all of your brother's property, meaning remember that not only do you get get his wife as part and parcel of the mitzvah of Yibam, but also Nachala. You're also going to be getting the entire inheritance. The actual mechanism of acquisition is going to be the act of Bia. So therefore, there needs to be precise definition in terms of what Bia is. Next, not only is... are we giving precise definition in terms of how to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum? We're also giving precise definition in terms of when one violates an Avera. Meaning, when encountering one of the Arayas in the Torah, and, as I pointed out yesterday, cannot ask for a better confluence of events. The Sedra of yesterday and this coming Shabbos, the Achrei Mosin Gedoshim. So it fits in perfectly with our Gemaras that we're doing together. In that last week, Achrei Mos, this coming week, Kedoshim. I know I'm speaking here in America, in Eretz Yisrael. We're off by a week. We're off, whatever, which is somebody's off. So anyway, but certainly, as terms of Parsha is concerned, so it's really good. Because we're going to be focusing on the Pesukim regarding the Arayos. So in encountering an Erva, so when exactly is one going to be in violation of the Isra, the Torah? So that, of course, is going to be at the point of Ha'ara. That's going to be at the point of partial penetration. So how do we know that? So the Torah mentions Ha'ara in one of the Arayos. And then we had what we learned yesterday was Akesha de Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah notes that at the end of the entire parasha, it says that anyone, Kikol Asher Yaseh Mikol HaTo'evos Ha'eleh. And so basically the Torah says, wrap them all up together. Meaning just like Ha'ara is going to be the point of a violation for one of them, it's going to be the point of violation for all of them. It's called Akesha de Rabbi Yonah, is what we learned yesterday. And where we begin today is, once we have Akesha de Rabbi Yonah, so there are a couple of times that we, as we pointed out yesterday, where it says Ha'ara, where it now becomes no longer necessary. Meaning, once I have Akesha de Rabbi Yonah, I only needed to mention it once, which the Torah does, and then all the other Arayas are going to be subject to the same. And so therefore, what is going to be the purpose of the Torah mentioning it in a couple of other locations? That's where we're starting off our day today. I'll just mention one other thing in the intro, and that is, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. So even though, as far as the Arayas are concerned, the Isra min HaTorah is violated at the point of Ha'ara, partial penetration, but at any point of contact, meaning any physical contact between a man and an Erva, So already there's going to be a violation. Is it going to be a Torah violation or is it going to be a rabbinic violation? Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Very basic machlokas, very, very fundamental. In terms of when the Torah says lo sikruvu legalo serva, that you're not allowed to get close to gilui erva. So according to the Rambam, Maimonides, according to the Rambam, so one's violating an isser of the Torah already at the point of physical contact, any physical contact between a man and an erva. So a woman who's an erva to him. So already according to the Rambam, that's an isser in a Torah. Granted, even according to the Rambam, you're not going to get karis at that point in time. Karis only comes about at the point of intimacy. And again, as we're learning in today's daf, yesterday's daf, intimacy is being defined as ha'ara. According to the Ramban, Nachmanides, so it's not an isser min atar, it's an isser mid derabbanan. Still, albeit it's asr, but the isser is mid derabbanan as opposed to mid deraiso. The differences between the Rambam and the Ramban in terms of any kind of physical contact between man and woman who are arise to one another. So there are going to be halachic differences between them. But anyway, very basic machlokas between the two. Again, just added that into the introduction. We continue in the Gemara. So now, I did the kule krala drasha, I'll say ksiv bei nami hamilsa drasha. Okay, we're coming off a question yesterday, and if you'll allow me, I'm not going to just review the last Q&A that we had yesterday. It's really detailed regarding the nature of the pasuk. But anyway, the entire pasuk is coming to teach us a drasha. We'll just pick it up right from that point over there, and my drasha. So what is the drasha? So detanya, we learned in the pasuk. So this is from yesterday sedra. So it says that one is not allowed to be with achos avicha, and that is your father's sister, okay? Otherwise known as your aunt. So over here, your aunt being one of the arayas. So now the Gemara is going to darshan. Now it doesn't matter if she's your father's sister maternally or paternally. Meaning an aunt obviously means that she is a sister to your father. But is there any kind of distinction to be made between a maternal versus a paternal sister? No, not in this halacha. So atom rabin minavinaim. Oh, I know ela minavala minaim. So the Gemara says, okay, but how do I know? Meaning the only thing that we have in the Torah itself is achos avicha. How do I know that it's only referring to, no, sorry. How do I know that it's both referring to maternal or paternal sister? So vidinu, chayv kan v'chayv achos. So the Gemara says, well, Let's go with precedent. What do we know? So ma'achoso bein menav bein menaim af kan bein menav bein menaim. Well, when it comes to the erva of one's own sister, so it doesn't matter whether she's paternal or maternal, meaning she's an erva to you. So the same thing would be true regarding your father's sister. Sounds reasonable. The Gemara says, oklach l'derech zu. On the other hand, we can make another argument, which is chayv kan v'chayv bedodaso. Well, you know that one is going to be forbidden to dodaso. Now, dodaso means what? It's your uncle's wife, right? Dod, of course, is an uncle. Dod does so over here. Does not mean your uncle proper. It means his wife. And that's an erva. Now, ma dod does so minav v'lo minayim, avkam minav v'lo minayim. Now, when it comes to your uncle's wife, so that's only your paternal uncle, meaning your father's brother who share a father. So, okay, and the word paternal uncle is a little bit confusing, I admit, but it means that it's only an uncle that is connected to your father paternally, not maternally. Now, how do we know that? Right now, let's just simply say we know that. So now we have a counter argument and a really good counter argument. So when it comes to dodaso, it's only paternal. So maybe when it comes to your aunt, it's also only paternal. So nira l'midoma. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have two models in which we can compare it to, either your sister or your uncle's wife. Which one is your aunt more comparable to? So the Gemara says, once again, we can go into one of two directions. So danin isra abba me'elav, misra abba me'elav, al tochich dodaso she'in isra abba me'elav. So on one hand, when it comes to your uncle's wife, so that's only coming about through marriage, as opposed to your aunt, as opposed to your own sister. That is your relative, directly related to you. No marriage is necessary. Oklach derech zu, danin krovei av mi krovei av, al tochich achoso she'krovei atzmo. On the other hand, your uncle is more comparable to your aunt in that it's your father's, it's related to you through your father. Masha enken, your sister. So your sister is a direct relative of you. So So that's why the Torah, which is sharing with us now a redundancy, so that's why the Torah now is eligible for a drasha of achos avicha. Achos avicha is telling me that it is in both cases, both where it's your maternal aunt or paternal aunt, meaning it's your father's sister, either sharing the same mother or sharing the same father. Okay, ervas achos imcha lo segale beimena beimenev lamali. So now let's go on. And now we're talking about your mother's sister, also an erva to you. And once again, it doesn't matter whether they are sharing. Your mother and her sister are just sharing a father or just sharing a mother. How do I know that? Once we already know it by Achosav, so shouldn't we already know it by Achosaim? So I'm Rabbi Abot, Zrichadi, Kas Rechman, Abachosav, Sheken Yeshla Chayas, Avachosaim, Emalo. So the Gemara says, no, it's necessary, because if it only said it by the father, you know, your Yichus comes about through your father. V'i, Kas Rechman, Abachosaim, Sheken Vadais, Avachosav, Emalo. And the counter argument would be, you know, well, your mother, so you know definitively who your mother is. On the other hand, you know definitively who your father is? Now, I understand. Nowadays, we have DNA testing, and yes, and nowadays there is certainly more ability to clarify exactly who your father is. But back in the day, meaning you had a good guess in terms of who your father is, but do you know with the kind of certainty that you know who your mother is? Now, on another occasion in the Daf Yomi, so we'll discuss that from a halachic standpoint. The person you think your father is halachically is in fact your father. Okay, you hit him and you're going to be chayv misa, and your defense will never be, well, how do you know he's my father? Like, what kind of certainties do I have? Anyway, for another occasion. But just right now, just to point out why I need both, you don't know he's your father as much as you know that she's your mother. Okay, so we'll just say it like that. So tzricha, so the Gemara says, so therefore they're necessary. Vidoda so dipshita leilatana demina avalomina aim minale. Good. So now let's just tie up a quick loose end, and that is that when it comes to your uncle's wife, what do we say? She's an erva only when it's your paternal uncle, meaning it's your father's brother sharing a father, not when it's your father's brother only sharing a mother. That's not an erva min haTorah. Now again, we did all this back on Daf Chaf and Chaf Aleph, but I total forgiveness if you've forgotten, because right, this is, you know, whatever. It's a body of information that you just got to keep straight. So anyway, so the Braisa mentioned it. It is in fact the halacha that the erva min haTorah for your uncle's wife is only when it is your father's brother who's sharing a father. So how do I know that? So Amar Rav Asya do ksiv hacha ervas do gilev ksiv hasam o do ben do yigalenu malahalan min avlam min aim avka min avlam min aim. So the Gemara says it's basically gzeira shava. I have dodo here in the parsha of Arayos. I also have it when it comes to redemption. Meaning, if somebody needs to be redeemed in Parshas Bahar, coming up later in Sefer Vayikra, so it says the word dodo, that's referring to your uncle, but specifically, it's your father's brother. So v'hasa minala, now how do I know over there that specifically your father's brother? And again, father's brother sharing a same father. Because the word mishpacha, from a legal standpoint, is referring to only paternal relationships, not maternal relationships. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. I'm gonna breathe for just a moment. So we haven't even cracked into today's daf yet. But the basic idea now is that we have been servicing a lot of drushas in terms of how do I know that when it comes to achos avicha, when it comes to your father's sister, the erva is whether she is your father's sister sharing a mother, sharing a father. Same thing with your mother's sister, sharing a father, sharing a mother, either or. When it comes to your uncle's wife, only when they share a father, not when they share a mother. How do I know all that? So the Gemara gave us the requisite drushas that got us to this point in time. We are now continuing. We are going to give a lengthy introduction that when it comes to your sister, it doesn't matter whether she's your maternal sister or paternal sister, she will be an erva to you. Now, the Gemara, as far as introductions go, this is going to be a really long way, a circuitous route to get to the simple point that your sister is an erva to you, whether she is sharing either a mother or a father. It doesn't have to be both. So we're going to start with a Mishnah. Now, I'm going to do this Mishnah, I'm just telling you right now in the front end, I'm going to do this Mishnah too quickly, meaning this Mishnah is a really complicated case, and the whole point the Mishnah is trying to make is that your sister is going to be prohibited to you, and it doesn't matter whether they share a mother or they share a father. However, to get to this point, the Mishnah over here is going to come out with a really far-fetched scenario. But again, It's not because this happened. It's just simply because the Mishnah wants to make certain points. Okay, so Amru lo. Meisi ishtecha v'nasa achoso mi'aviyah. So your wife died, so he decided to marry her sister, paternal sister. Okay, meisa v'nasa achoso mi'ima. Then news about your second wife dying, and so therefore you married her sister, but again, a maternal sister. Now over here, this is what I'm not going to do right now, and that is you chart it out because the third sister is not related to the first sister. In other words, they're coming about through a string of different marriages. Okay, so it is a really complicated case over here. All you need to know is that one and two are related, are sisters, two and three are sisters, but one and three are not sisters. Okay. And again, you're jumping across by, because one and two are only paternal sisters, two and three are only maternal sisters, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Now, and so basically now you have a pattern of having married five women, and one and two are sisters, two and three are sisters, three and four are sisters, four and five are sisters. But again, one and three are not sisters, three and five are not sisters. Now, mutter bi. Now, what ends up happening is that all the women come back, and it turns out that the rumors of their death were highly exaggerated. You got bad information. So now, mutter b'rishon v'shishis v'chamishis v'poteres tzaraseim v'asur b'shniyah v'revias v'ein v'achas mehem poteres tzarasa. So now, what you're allowed to do is maintain and keep wives numbers 1, 3, and 5. Okay, you can't keep 2 and 4, because again, 2 is a sister of 1, and 4 is a sister of 3. Okay, again, it's a really complicated scenario. And then the imbal al shnei la'achem misas rishona mutter b'shnei v'revias v'poteres tzarasim v'asur b'shlishis v'chamishis. Now, what if one actually died and then you marry two? So now two was mutter to you. Three is a sister of two. Four is not a sister of two. So you're allowed to keep sisters two and four, but you have to now you have to divorce. Well, I say divorce. We're never married to sisters three and five. Okay, Adkan. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming up later on. Anyway. What do we get from that Mishnah? What we get from that Mishnah on top of Nun Hamad Aleph, Ama Achos Ishta Beimena'av Beimena'im Asuros Minalan. So what we get from there is that a sister is going to be, in other words, your wife's sister is going to be Asur to you, regardless of whether or not it is a maternal sister or paternal sister. That's what we got from that Mishnah. Gemara says, good, we're there. How do we know that? So now we're working backwards, meaning we know the information. How do we learn that out from the Drasha? So, beimenav beimenaim asuros minalan yalef meachosa meachosa beimenav beimenaim afkan beimenav beimenaim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we learn it from your sister, meaning your sister, as we already established, does not matter whether it's maternal or paternal. So your wife's sister is going to be asur, and does not matter whether it's maternal or paternal. Veleilef mi dodosom adodosom minav velamenaim afkan minav velamenaim. So once again, the Gemara says, well, if you're looking for a binyanav, so why don't we turn to your uncle's wife? And again, what do we know regarding your uncle's wife? We know that the uncle's wife is only a paternal uncle, not a maternal uncle. So, So the Gemara says it makes more sense. Achoso, achosos, krovei atzmo. Adarabba, midodos avalelemev shekin, davar ayidei kedushin, midavar shayidei kedushin. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. The uncle model serves as a better model, because in the uncle model, so what do you have? It's your uncle's wife. Here, it's your wife's sister. Both of them are being generated by kiddushin. So elam yeshes achyafinan de shekain dava ayide kiddushin v'krovei atzmo. So the Gemara says, so it's coming from yeshes ach, meaning one of the arrives in last week's sedra. Also, this coming week's sedra is yeshes ach. It's your brother's wife. Okay, not to be confused with your wife's sister. Meaning, I know they sound similar, but they're not. So your wife's sister is one of the arais, which we're trying to now establish. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to learn out from your brother's wife. So your brother's wife, now here, when it says brother's wife, it doesn't matter whether it's your maternal or paternal brother. So therefore, it serves as a good model. In fact, the Gemara says it's a really good model. Why? Because it's davra al yidei kedushin. Because again, it comes about through marriage and krovei atzmo. And it comes as a result of the fact that it is your brother's wife. So the Eishasach Gufa Minalan, the Gemara says, great. Simple question, Eishasach. How do I know whether it's both either maternal or paternal? Now, at this point in time, don't get confused. Meaning, what do we know regarding Eishasach? We know there's a mitzvah of Yibum, right? That's the only erva in the Torah where the erva is going to be allowed in the case of for the mitzvah of Yibum. So, and what did we learn earlier? We learned that the mitzvah of Yibum is only when it's a paternal brother. Yeah. For the mitzvah of Yibum, that's only when it's a paternal brother. For the Isser Erva, that's either if it's paternal or maternal. We're right now talking about the Isser. We're not talking about the mitzvah. So how do I know that's either maternal or paternal? Minale d'tanya. And so here the Gemara now is going to go in, onto this pathway. Now, remember, these Gemaras are hard over here because really one point is linked to another point, which is linked to another point. So when all said and done, and I quite frankly, I haven't done this yet, is that you got to put the whole puzzle back together again. Meaning right now, what we're trying to litigate is, how do I know that when it comes to your wife's sister, she's an erva regardless of whether it's a maternal or paternal sister? The Gemara says, well, we'll learn it from Eishasach. How do I know that Eishasach does not distinguish between maternal or paternal sister? That's what we're doing right now. Once we establish that, then we could go back to your wife's sister and then plug it in over there, right? So a lot of points over here are connected one to the other. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. We're on an Hayamud Aleph. We're about 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. So, Erva Eishes Achicha Lo Segala Beimena, Beimena Aim. Okay, so, the Torah says, Eishes Achicha, right? The wife of your brother. Your brother's wife. So she's an Erva. And it doesn't matter whether it's maternal or paternal. So, Ata Omer Beimena, Beimena Aim, Oino Alamena, Velomena Aim. And again, the Gemara says, good, I have the Pasuk. How do I know that it doesn't matter whether it is paternal or maternal? So v'dinu chayv kam v'chayv ba'achosam achosam be'menav be'menaim avkam be'menav be'menaim. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we compare it to your sister? Now again, by your sister, we know for sure it doesn't matter whether it's paternal or maternal. Oklach l'derech zu chayv kam v'chayv be'dodaso ma'dodaso menav v'lo menaim avkam menav v'lo menaim. On the other hand, compare it to your uncle's wife. And your uncle's wife is only when they share fathers, not when they share mother. So nira l'midome. And once again, which one's more comparable? Which one's the better comparison? So danun krovei atzma mikrovei atzma v'altu tochech dodaso shekrovei ha'av. So on one hand, it's better because when it comes to Eishasach, that is your brother's wife. When it comes to Achoso, that's your sister, as opposed to where it's your uncle's wife, where it's not a direct relative of you, it's your father's brother. Otherwise stated, it's your uncle. So it's not as close a relationship. Oklach l'derech zu, danin davar shal yidei kedushin, medavar shal yidei kedushin, v'al tochiach achoso she'isra haba me'elav. On the other hand, it's a much better comparable to the uncle because the Eishasach is generated through kedushin, and your uncle is generated through kedushin. So tamalom re'efas achicha hi, be'menav, be'menaev. So the fact of the matter is that the pasuk is redundant based on the redundancy in the pasuk. So therefore it comes to teach me that we don't distinguish between whether it is a paternal or a maternal brother's wife. Both of them are going to be an erva to you. The Ema, the Gemara, is going to just keep pushing back. In other words, this is the conclusion. This is the correct conclusion. But the Gemara, for just a little bit, is going to push back. The Ema, maybe it's talking about a paternal brother. And maybe just a distinction to be made between when there's children, when there's no children. Now, we're not talking about when your brother dies, because when your brother dies, so there is a mitzvah of Yibum. We're talking about where she was married to your brother, but she's no longer married to your brother. And they he divorced her. So now she becomes available. Why do I need two psukim? It's not two psukim, it's two phrases. But why do I need the second redundant phrase? Maybe one is to tell me where, even in the event where they don't have children, it's still going to be usher. Meaning the only time where your brother's wife is going to be mutter to you is only when your brother dies, only when he leaves her a widow. But if he leaves her a divorcee, so then I need two phrases. One to tell me when they had children, and one to tell me then even when they didn't have children, and still she will be an erva to you. So ein la banim b'chayi bala medrav huna nafka. The Gemara says, yeah, we already established that yesterday. Meaning go back to yesterday's daf. And if you remember yesterday's daf, nun dal med beis, right, a little bit more after the wide lines. So the Gemara noted that one of the psukim found in this coming week's Parshan Kedoshim says that the Eishasach is like a nida, right? And the Gemara noted yesterday, that's a funny pasuk. What do you mean she's like a nida? She's not like a nida. A nida is a nida. Your Eishasach is your brother's wife. Why does the Torah say that she's like a nida? So yesterday we learned together that there's an Isser Karis by Eishasach. So this was already established yesterday. So So once again, the Gemara still is going to be a little bit difficult. meaning the Gemara just wants to make sure that there's nothing else that we could use with this redundant pasuk. So maybe what we could learn out is Eishes Ach Minaav, that's talking about a paternal brother and your paternal brother's wife, and Chad Diyesh Labanim Bechayibala V'Chad Diyesh Labanim La'achar Misas Bala. And maybe we're talking about where one phrase is for where she had children while your brother's alive and he divorced her, and one is when she had children and your brother left her a widow. So Yesh Labanim La'achar Misas Bala Lo Tzricha Kra Midam Rachmana Shein Labanim Muteris HaYesh Labanim Asura. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If he leaves her widow, but with children, so that we know deductively. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Vidilma in Labanim Asur La'ama Vishar Liyaba. Yesh Labanim Shari La'ama Vishari Layava. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe if there were no children, so she's prohibited to the rest of the world, but she's mutter to the Yavam. If she has children, so she'll be mutter to the rest of the world, and she'll be mutter to the Yavam as well. Inami ein labanim mitzvah yesh labanim rishus. Maybe if there are no children, then he has to marry her. If she does have children, maybe he's just simply allowed to marry her. Inami ein labanim yesh ein labanim in yesh labanim lo v'lav abba mechlal se asay. Or maybe we just wouldn't know the degree of the iser, meaning if all I had was just a deduction, I would have said, fine, it's a lav haba mechlal asay, a negative prohibition that's learned out deductively from what the Torah instructs us to do. That does not speak to the idea that we're talking about in erva nisar kares. So kasuv of karachrina, ervas achiv gila. So that's why the Torah has to say, ervas achiv gila, meaning that it's the erva of your brother, i.e. it's your brother's wife, which is there to inform us, to instruct us that that the Isser is going to be an Isser Erva. So once again, we leave that original phrase of Ervas Eshes Achicha Lo Segala as a redundant phrase, and it's coming to tell me that when it's your brother's wife, she's an Erva to you, regardless of whether it's your maternal brother or whether it's your paternal brother. Okay, we're almost done. I know, it's a long string. V'eima Eshes Ach Minaim K'Eshes Ach Minaav. My Eshes Ach Minaav La'achar Misa Bala Sharia Af Eshes Ach Minaim La'achar Misa Bala Sharia. So the Gemara says, okay, so once we establish that your brother's wife is an erva to you, regardless of whether it's paternal or whether it's maternal, so hey, I got this great idea, says the Gemara. Why don't we simply say that there's a mitzvah of Yibam in both circumstances? Meaning if she's an erva in both circumstances, or maybe there's a mitzvah of Yibam in both circumstances. Now, we already established very beginning of the Masechta, the mitzvah of Yibam is only for your paternal brother, not for your maternal brother. But at this juncture, as we've just now established, that there is an erva for maternal or paternal, maybe there's also a mitzvah for maternal or paternal. So Amakra, he bev yaso tehe. So the Gemara says, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says the word he tells me that her status does not change. Meaning her status, the maternal brother's wife, does not change, meaning that she will always be usher to you. Okay. Done. I mean, not done with the daf, but done with that section of the Gemara. Okay, so a really lengthy bit of Gemara establishing that when it comes to Eshesach, when it comes to your brother's wife, she's an erva to you, and it does not matter whether it is your maternal or your paternal brother's wife, either one of them is an erva. As far as the mitzvah of Yibam is concerned, that's only in a circumstance where it's your paternal brother, not when your maternal brother's wife. Good. Achoso de kasaba karis lamali. Okay, now achoso, where the Torah says the word that having relations with one sister is an isser karis. Why do I need that? So meaning to say that we already know that all of them are chayve krisos, meaning we have Akesha de Rabbi Yonah, and Akesha de Rabbi Yonah tells us that they're all subject to krisos. So why then do I need it repeated by specifically of the one who's with his sister? So the Gemara's answer: Lichid de Rabbi Yochanan, da Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shimasim Kulam Be'alam Echad, Chayva Kol Achas V'Acha. So Rabbi Yochanan says L'chalek, meaning let's say a person engages in acts of arayos, multiple acts of arayos with multiple family members. So one might have thought, okay, and I'm sorry, and he did all that in a state of shogeg. Okay, so maybe one would be subject to one carbon chatas. So much like we say this regarding Shabbos and Malachas, if you recall. So by Shabbos, each one of the Malachas represents a separate Isser Shabbos, even though it was done in one Halama, but nevertheless, you're Chayav Akol Achas V'Achas. So too over here, when it comes to Arayos, same basic idea, you're going to be Chayav on every single Erva. Now, Ula Rebbe Yisrael Damer Kol Chayav Yikrusus Bechlal Hayu V'Lama Yasa Karis B'Achos V'Lad Dona B'Karis V'Lo B'Malkos. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is this really funny position of Rabbi Yitzchak. I say funny, I just simply mean it is not the halacha, it's not the accepted halacha, but it's really interesting. Rabbi Yitzchak says that when there is a kares penalty, there's not going to be malchus. Meaning, you do not receive malchus for violating arayus. Now, we don't possibly like Rabbi Yitzchak. Meaning, arayus is a law in the Torah. It also happens to be that if you do it b'mezid, you're going to be subject to kares. But it's a law in the Torah. Therefore, if one violates any one of the Yisuri kares intentionally with witnesses and a warning, so you're going to be subject to malchus. Good. Rabbi Yitzchak is of the position that no, kares replaces malchus. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. So, and he learns it out from this very drasha. So now, how does he know that there's such an idea of chiluk, of the arayus being divided one amongst the others? So nafkalei mevel isha minidas to masal lechayav kol isha v'isha. So the Gemara says, fine. So he has a drasha for that. He learns it from a different pasuk. You could see Rashi over here in terms of how exactly this drasha works. In other words, he has a drasha. Fine. Dodasa dekasa barechman arimim yu lamali. So when it comes to dodaso, your uncle, and again, your uncle means your uncle's wife. So where the Torah says, aririm yihiyu. So the word aririm means that you're going to be childless. So why that? L'chadarabah, darabah ramiksiv, aririm yihiyu, v'ksiv, aririm yamusa. So if you go to next week's Parshin Kedoshim, so the Torah says that if you engage in this erva, so one pasuk says, aririm yihiyu, that you will be in a state of childlessness, and the other pasuk says, aririm yamusu, your children will die. Well, that's not exactly the same. So Haketza, Yesh Labanim Kovrim, Ein Labanim Holech Ariri. So the Gemara says, okay, so it just simply is a question of what state you're at. Meaning that if you already have children and you violate these arayos, so therefore you're going to be subject to kares. Kares over here specifically, kares Ariri. And Ariri means either one of two things. Either if you don't have children, you won't have children. Or if you do have children, they will die rachmanis. If all I have was a pasuk of aririm yu, have I mean ad chate, ava michate ve'elech lo. So that's only up until the point of chet, but from chet and onward, no. Kasa rachman aririm yamusu. So that's why aririm yamusu, to tell us that rachmanus, that even the children you already had are going to die. V'kasa rachman aririm yamusu, have I mean a michate ve'elech. And if all I had was the Avirim Yamusa, I might have thought that will only refer to the children post-chet, but the children you had before the chet, no? So, okay, so that's the other pasuk as well. Okay, so Tosfos discussed this in the very beginning of the Masechta. Beis Amud Aleph, in terms of what is the difference between Kares and Misa B'dei Shamayim, right? In other words, we know that for any and all the Arayas that one violates and does so intentionally, subject to the Kares penalty. Kares is really hard to give a working definition of what that means. Kares means that you are cut off. What exactly does that mean? Something very similar to Kares is Misa B'dei Shamayim. What exactly are the differences between them? So, Tosos in the very beginning of the Masechta. So, goes over some of the very basic differences between them. Our Gemara over here, and yes, Tosos cites it all the way back on Dav Beis Amud Aleph. Our Gemara over here is telling us that kares is not only going to be affecting you, but it's going to be affecting your children as well. Okay. Fine. We are on the very bottom of Nun Hey Amud Aleph. Ha'ara dechaive lavin minalan. No, but the Gemara is to be understood literally, meaning, I guess the question can and should be asked, meaning nowadays we don't see it happening. That people are violating Yisuri Kares and they're subject to this kind of penalty. Okay. The Kadosh Baruch Hu's operation of Scharva Onesh is not operating the same as the Torah once was given, and it definitely demands an explanation in terms of why. Okay. I myself don't have a prepared answer, but certainly your observation is correct. Ha'aru d'chayve lava minalan. Now, when it comes to Ha'ara, so again, partial penetration is considered bia. We've established that it's true in terms of the mitzvah of Yibam, although we haven't really given the drasha yet. We also have established, meaning between yesterday's daf and today's daf, that it's going to invoke a Isser Kares for any one of the arayas. And again, Mekesha de Rabbi Yonah. I know from the Hekesha Rabbi Yonah, meaning really that's yesterday's daf and today's daf all summarized in a sentence. Hekesha de Rabbi Yonah. Good. So now the Gemara says, yeah, that's arayas. Now there are other forbidden relationships in the Torah. So, and they could be put into multiple categories. In fact, right now, let's go over Chayve Lavin. So in other words, any one of the lavim in the Torah, how do I know that the violation comes about at the point of ha'ara, partial penetration? Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Shifcha Charufa. Now, at another point, I will explain Shifcha Charufa in much more detail. You could see Rashi over here. For our purposes right now, let's just simply say, next week's Parsha, so you'll read about Shifcha Charufa. If a person were to engage in relation with Shifcha Charufa, so the Torah goes out of its way to say that when do you violate that Isser? Only at the point of completion, of a full penetration. So therefore, that means that for all the other Isurim, so therefore it's only partial. That's the Gemara's point. Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe I can make the following counter argument. If by krisus, meaning all the Yisurim and Achrim, Mos, and Kedoshim, if they're only going to be subject to the violation at the point of partial penetration, so maybe by Lavin it's full penetration. In other words, if we could just try to come up with a svara for this, meaning the idea is that the Arayos are the most severe forms of sexual immorality. And so therefore the violation will come about even at a partial penetration. But when it comes to lavim, which are not as severe, so maybe there you need full penetration. The Gemara says maybe that's the case. Okay, so the Gemara says Ravashi's point is then fine, then the Torah shouldn't have said anything by Shifcha Charufa. Meaning then the default would be that for any of the other sexual violations, so therefore it would be full penetration, and the Torah wouldn't have to say anything by Shifcha Charufa. Shifcha Charufa is not one of the Arayas. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's move into the category of the Chayv Lavin by Kahuna. And there, the violation is at the point of Ha'ara, partial penetration. How do I know that? So Asikicha Kicha de Chayv Esay. I'm sorry, Asikicha Kicha. Sorry, Gzer Shava. Good. Chayv Esay Minalan. What about Chayv Esay? Where there too, it's going to be partial penetration. Asya Bia Bia. Again, Gzer Shava. See Rashi for exactly how the Gzer Shava works. Yavama Lashuk Minalan. How about Yavama Lashuk? Meaning that if you have a Yavama who is not allowed to be right now at this point, before Chalitza, before being either Chalitza or being married to her brother-in-law. And if she's married to her brother-in-law, then she becomes a married woman. But before Chalitza, she's prohibited to be with another man. And she is with another man. And at what point precisely is that violation going to be violated? Ha'ara, partial penetration. How do I know? So, Yavam L'shuk Minalan, Ilam Andamar Lav, Lav. Ilam Andamar Asay, Asay. So the Gemara says, well, it's already been covered. Meaning, call it a Lav, call it an Asay. Either way you go, we already covered it. So, Ela Yavama Liyavam Minalan. So the Gemara says, okay, how do I know Yavama to Yavam? So funny. Meaning the whole Perek started off with this idea, but in other words, where's the Drasha? So the Gemara says, and remember, Yavama to Yavam, it's not an Isser. In fact, just the opposite. It's a mitzvah. So, Asya Bia Bia. So fine. So, Asya Bia Bia. So again, it's a Gzereshava. Isha Liba'ala Minalan. How about man and woman? A husband and wife? What? Husband and wife, what does that mean? It means Kiddushin. Now, I know we just learned, only just a short couple of days ago, that even though that Bia is a valid way to be Mekadosh a woman, but don't do it. Rav Mangid on the Mekadosh Bia. Rav gave Malkus to anyone who did. Okay, but even though we're at this point historically where you don't do it, but how do I know that if you're Mekadosh Bia, the Kiddushin is formulated, it is effected at the point of Ha'ara. Asikicha kicha. So we learn it out through a gzereshava. Okay. Amarava lami li dekasra chma shechva zer b'shechva charufa shechva zer b'eshesi shechva zer b'sota. Okay, so three questions. All three demand an answer. Okay, so what we'll do today, this morning, is that we'll finish up all three of these answers, and then we'll pause and we'll pick it up tomorrow. So I'm sure for the theme alert of today, there's really only one point that the Gemara is making today. Right, you walk out today. I know, really delicate Gemaras, mature Gemaras, but you walk away today, what did we learn together? That in terms of both the Isurim of Bia and the Mitzvahs of Bia, so everything is either violated or fulfilled at the point of Ha'ara, partial penetration. And again, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to give really graphic definitions of what exactly that means, partial penetration. Good. That's what we're learning in the course of today's daf. However, three occasions in the Torah where the Torah says that the bia has to be a full bia. Shechva zera. Shechva zera means that he seminated her, which means that there was a full penetration. Why in those three occasions does the Torah say it? Good. That's the question. So shichva charufa kadamara. So the Gemara says, as far as shichva charufa is concerned, so that it's just simply an exception, meaning that the violation over there is only going to be achieved at the point of bia gemura. Fine. Eishes ish. So the Gemara says, now as far as eishes ish is concerned, so why does the Torah over there say the words shichva zera? So pratla mishamish meis. So the Gemara says, well, it's coming to exclude, what if the man has relations with a woman? In other words, an adulterous relationship with a woman, but he does so without kishui ever. So the Gemara says, Hanich lamandamar, mishamish meis barayis pater, lamandamar chayiv miyikalameimar. Now this is a machlokas, meaning if a man has an adulterous relationship, or for that matter, any kind of forbidden relationship, and he does so without kishui, without an erection, so is that going to be a violation of the Torah? So it's a machlokas. Even the one who says that it's not a violation, it does not mean it's mutter. In fact, the Gemara says very clearly pater. It just simply means that you're not going to be subject to whatever punishments are in store. Meaning for Eishes Ish would be capital punishment. It just simply means that you're not subject to capital punishment. Obviously, it's still forbidden. So the Gemara says, so if you want to tell me that Sheikh Vazera is coming to exclude a man who is Mishamish, a married woman, Be'ever Hameis, so the Gemara says, yeah, that's if you subscribe to that viewpoint. But if I subscribe to the viewpoint that such an act would still be high of Michael Amemar, Ella Pratla Mishamish Mesa. So the Gemara says, and talk about indelicate, the Gemara says, well, what if he's having relations with a married woman, happens to be after she's dead? Yes, in other words, the Gemara for a moment right now is entertaining that this would be a violation of adultery. Now, as a Havamina goes, it's a strange Havamina. However, from a textual standpoint, the Gemara is making a good point. From a Svara standpoint, it's really difficult to entertain, but from a textual standpoint, it's a really good point. Because we know that one's wife is called She'er even after she died. How do I know that? So, so Rashi points out, I'm sorry, the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but Rashi points out, because we know that a Kohen is metami for his wife. Why? Because the Torah says, ki im l'she'ero. A Kohen's metami even for his she'er. That's a reference to his wife. Obviously, his wife at this point is in what condition? She's dead. And yet the Torah calls her she'ero. So, as a consideration, again, a really bizarre consideration. Okay, so maybe this also would mean that if a man had relations with her, so that's an act of adultery. That's the, huh?
Doesn't she need
Das
for adultery?
No. If an adulterous affair means having a relationship with another person, let's say, for example, she has an adulterous relationship with a 10-year-old. His bia is an act of bia. He doesn't have Das. It's an act of adultery. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is that, no. That is not going to be a violation of adultery. That's the shichva zera that's learned out from Eishes Ish. And we got one more to go. And this also is going to be uncomfortable. De sota lamali lichidatanya. So the Gemara says, as far as sota is concerned. Now we all know that when it comes to sota, so what's going to make her a sota? Remember, two categories of sota. We go over this point again and again. And let's keep hammering it. And that is that when it comes to sota, so there's a sota vada, which means that you know she committed adultery. Okay, for whatever reason, she's not put to death, but you know she did. Witnesses, whatever the case is. And then the sota in the more classic sense where you don't know, you warned her not to be with that man. She secluded herself with that man, but after that, you don't know what happened. Right? But reglaim ladavar. There's really good evidence that would indicate that she slept with that man, but you don't know. So that's the kind of sota we're describing right now. Right? In halacha called a sota safek. So, in order for her to become a sota, where she has to go to the base of Mikdash and drink the water, she needs a warning. That warning is called the kinui. It's the first Mishnah in the Masechta of Sota. So, de sota lamali lichidatanya, shich vazera prat ladavar acher. So shich vazera tells me prat ladavar acher. Now, what does that mean? My davar acher, I'm Rav Sheshes prat l'shekine la shalokadarka. So, let's say that you warned your wife not to be with this man, but in other words, but the warning was, I do not want you to have relations with this man, be a shalokadarka, unnatural relations, right? In intercourse. So Amalei Rava Mishkave Ishiksiv. The Gemara says, no, that's still considered bia, right? We said this yesterday. We're saying it again today. And the Gemara is very consistent about this. And that is that unnatural relations is the same as natural relations. There is no, as far as the Torah is concerned, they're both acts of bia. So in other words, so there shouldn't be a difference between the two. Ela mereva pra l'shikin alach derech evarim. So the Gemara says, well, what he warned his wife is, don't be with that man, meaning do not stimulate him in any other way. So amalei Abai prisus asarachmana. So Abai says, yeah, but that is not a violation of the Torah. Now, to be clear, that is as inappropriate as one can imagine. That is an act of infidelity as one can imagine. But in terms of the act of adultery, where everything over here is very formal and very concretized, and this is a legal discussion over here, as far as an act of an adultery is concerned, it is not an act of adultery. So warning her to engage in this act is not going to be formally a warning. Meaning, again, I'm repeating myself, but it's fine. If she goes ahead and engages in this kind of activity, it is infidelity. It's going to destroy the marriage. All that goes without saying. But in terms of getting to the threshold of making her a sota, it has to be warning her not to be with that man, but be with that man in the very legal sense of not to have relations with that man. So Alamar Abai Prala Shekin Ala Benishika. So the Gemara says, okay, so what he warned her to do is not even to have the first contact with her. And contact over here means in the most intimate way. So Hanich Lamanda Amar Hara Zuach Nasa Satara Lamanda Amar Neshika Ma'ika Lamemar. So the Gemara says, okay, but as far as Neshika, there is an opinion, which we're going to start tomorrow's daf with, which is that Neshika is already considered, Ha'ara, it's already considered as if they had relations. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to our previous suggestion, which is that he warned her that she should not stimulate another man, not, in other words, not having relations, but just simply not to stimulate him in any other way. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's not relations. The Gemara says, yeah, but as a Havamin is concerned, I might have thought that as far as Sota is concerned, meaning it bothers him. I'll make the most obvious statement today. Obviously, it's going to bother him. And I might have thought in terms of the threshold of Sota, maybe that would qualify her now as a Sota. That's a Havamina, and it's a pretty good Havamina, meaning it would really bother the husband if she was with another man, even if they weren't together in terms of quote-unquote natural relations. So I might have thought that she would be eligible to become a Sota under those circumstances. Kamash Malan. Sheikh Vazera by Sota comes to tell me that the only warning that will make her a formal Sota, where she will be eligible to go to the Beis HaMikdash and drink the water, et cetera, is only when the warning is coming for Bia and for no other form of stimulation. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Most of today's daf is easily summarizable as it has to do with how do I know that Ha'ara is going to be true by all the Arayas in the Torah, all the Chayvei Lavin, all the Chayvei Aseh, and even the Mitzvah of Yibum. How do I know that Ha'ara is considered an act of Bia? The Gemara took us through all the drashas. And also, just another big part of today's daf, and that is the establishment of various arayos in terms of whether you're sharing a mother, you're sharing a father, or it could be either one of them, or specifically the father, not the mother. Okay. And then the second half of today's daf, so after establishing that Ha'ara is going to be the threshold of Bia for everything, so then why is Sheikh Vazer mentioned by three places? One, Shifcha Charufa, two, Eshes Ish, and three, Sota. And the Gemara gave answers for all three of them.